Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 347, Family Coming In, Believing for Miracles. Guest Minister Tanya Schnitz delivered this message on Sunday, December 3rd, 2023, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Hallelujah! Welcome, everybody. What a day. You better buckle up. This is going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. God has just been speaking into this family series that we've been doing, and today's title is Believing in Miracles. So hallelujah. So let's just pray. Father God, thank you so much for providing a way for each one of us to come into the kingdom and to believe and give us faith, great faith, Father God, to believe for our families to come in as well. We praise you for this way, God. We praise you for miracles. We thank you, God, for giving us a hope and a future for every single person that we know in our connected to and pray for. We thank you, God. We just ask that you would use us today and our faith as we release it out. Use us for our families. Use us, God. We humble ourselves to be your servants. We humble ourselves to pray, to spend time with you, and to believe in you, the miracle working God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that as we go through this sermon today, our faith is going to rise. It's going to rise. It's going to rise. It's going to be the river of life for our families. And Lord, as I release faith out of my mouth, let it raise their faith to go home and speak words of love and affirmation over their families, believing in you, a miracle working God. We thank you, Jesus. Bless us now. Open our eyes for revelation, for deeper understanding of what you have done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. And bless my new software I'm trying to learn how to use. Let it be good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What is a miracle? First, we have to understand, what is a miracle? What has he provided in, and what is the definition of miracle? You know, a lot of people say to their, it's going to take a miracle for that one. It's going to take a miracle for that one. But what is a miracle? What is God's definition of a miracle? It is an extraordinary event, a supernatural manifestation of divine intervention into human affairs. It is an astonishing happening that is attributed to the presence and action of the ultimate and divine power of God. It is dunamis power, or the very virtue and character of Jesus Christ, that manifests itself into our lives. This is what makes him a life-saving God, a resurrection God, right? It's his character comes alive in us and comes out of us to believe for something we could never do ourselves. Miracles transcend human understanding and inspire wonder. They display the greatness of God, and they cause people to recognize that he is active in the world today, right? And so when we preach the word of God, what happens? The miracles, the signs, and the wonders follow, because he wants people to see his power in the world today. So he made this way for us, so we need to believe for it, right? Grab a hold of it and walk in it. So let me tell you, hang on, I'm opening my phone to my scripture. There are four kinds of miracles. So let's get that understanding too. The healing miracle, that is the curing of physical impairments. It is the instantaneous work of God and not the process of healing. An example, creative miracles are like someone's body part growing back, or blind eyes opening, deaf ears becoming able to hear. That's an instantaneous miracle of God, and we want to believe for those. But the process of healing is something different. He created our bodies to heal, so we can have faith for that as well. That's not a miracle. That's just the way he created us. He created us to heal, and he provided the blood of Jesus before the cross for us to heal. So that's two different things. So understand that when you're believing for a miracle, you're believing for the instantaneous manifestation of a creative miracle. Okay? Number two, deliverance. That is a miracle. It's freedom from demonic attack. It's setting someone free in the spirit from demon torment. That is a miracle. No other God can do that. He's a miracle-working God. Hallelujah. We love deliverance. Thank you, Lord, for that gift. It's the children's bread. It's what sets us free to show people that his power is real and that we walk in freedom. Hallelujah. Then there's the miracle of nature. Divine control over the physical environment in nature outside, validating God's sovereignty and superiority. I was really practicing that word. Try to say that fast. Superiority. He is superior, and he can do that over nature. And we can believe for that. We can speak it out of our mouth and believe that the storm will stop. Hallelujah. That's nature. We can control nature with God's power if we believe for it. Hallelujah. And the final one is restoration. This is what we're focusing on today. Restoration, or raising the dead, restoring to life, salvation. That is a miracle. When I first started watching Mario Murillo's tent meetings, and he said, "Do you see the miracle of all the people up here?" I'm like, "That's a miracle?" Yes, because who else could change somebody's heart? We can't do that. It's a miracle. So understand that God's provided right here in his miracle-working power for restoration and new life for each one of us as we came in and for the people we're believing for. So I hope that clears that up for you, so now you can believe full force for that miracle, okay? So Pastor Sarah has been teaching on covenant, and these are just a couple of the promises that I rely on. Deuteronomy 7:9. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commands. Hallelujah. Ain't that a good promise? God bless you. Thousands of generations have come after he wrote this in Deuteronomy, and people are still receiving this promise today. Our families, right? Isaiah 54:13-14, all your children will be taught by the Lord, and great will be their peace. In righteousness, you will be established. You will have nothing to fear. Amen. What we see with our eyes is nothing. Sorry, Tim. He said, don't make those noises with your mouth. Can't help it. That's what I think of the devil and him trying to cast fear on us when we look at our kids. I'm not fearful of that. Terror will be far removed. It will not come near you. We have to keep our eyes laser focused on these promises because they are what we stand on. So in order to have faith for families to come into the kingdom, we must have expectation in miracles. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We cannot say that enough. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So read your scripture out loud. Get that faith building on the inside of you. He gave each one of us a mustard seed, but we have to grow the tree with our faith with the word of God. And then it becomes the biggest tree, right? Hallelujah. We can find many miracle stories throughout the Bible, but today we're going to focus on 2 Kings 4. The widow's oil is the first story that we're going to talk about. This woman believed with expectation, and she trusted the Lord and put into action what the man of God told her to do. So as we begin to just tear this down little by little by little, we're going to break it down. So it says in verse 1, the wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." So back in those days, they were allowed to do that. They were allowed to take your family to pay your debt. That was how you did it. So, but this verse says that he was a servant of the Lord. He revered God. So she's got a way to believe for something more. Right? She doesn't have to just look at what it looks like. She can say, "Hey, I'm reaching out to you, God, for help. I don't want my boys to be taken. I don't want the enemy to come in and steal, kill, and destroy my family. He can't have my family. He can't have your family." We can stand and believe in something different because we have a miracle-working God. Hallelujah. So in verse 2, Elisha replied to her. They referred to him in here, by the way, as man of God. So I go back and forth. Man of God or Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except for a small jar of olive oil." That's it. That's all she had. But you know what? All we have when we look at our adult family members is faith. So this little jar of oil is her faith, and it's going to grow. This faith, when we hear the word of God, it grows. So just keep thinking about that. That jar is her faith. All right. So he told her some instructions. Elisha said, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars, and don't ask for just a few. So I've got a demonstration here. Empty jars. Empty jars. All right. I am believing for my son. And you can go ahead and start passing out. I've got instructions for you guys. Daughter-in-law. They're going to pass out a cup to each one of you and a Sharpie marker. Write your person's name, the main person you're believing for. You can write more later, but since we're in the middle of a sermon and we're going to keep it moving, they're going to keep the cups and the pens moving for you. But I want you to write down somebody you're believing for. Okay? I'm believing for a daughter. I'm believing for my other daughter. I am believing for my grandson. I am believing for my future grandchildren, pink ones. I am believing for all my other family members, all. Okay, there's my faith. I'm releasing it right now in these jars. Write down your name. Pass your marker up front. So, Lord, while they do this, we just talk with you a little bit. Father, put a person on their heart, the person that they're believing for the most right now at the top of the list. Someone that they're believing for that as we fill these jars one by one, they're going to come into the kingdom. One by one, God, that's how you work. You touch each life and you change it and you do that miraculous thing in their lives. So, Father, we just thank you. We thank you that as we hold these cups in our hand, with name upon it, we put our faith inside. And as we hear, we put more names in the cup. We can write them on there later. We thank you, God, that we're releasing our faith out of our hands right now for these miracles for these families. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're giving us a way to demonstrate our faith, to put an action to our faith. We're listening. We're hearing the word of God. Our expectation is rising, and now we have an action to go with it. We thank you, God. We thank you. You've provided a way. We thank you. When you're done with your marker, just lift your hand. They'll come and grab it. We thank you, Lord. We don't want any distractions. After you've wrote your name, we just don't want any more distractions. So we thank you, God, that you've given us a way to do this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Ooh, I feel the faith rising in the room. Do you? I love that. God is so faithful. All right. So he gave some more instructions. So what did he say next? He said, then you go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side. Okay, so what we see here is all she has is this little jar of oil. I got a lot of cups here. You know, I got a lot of cups, but it's my faith. So as our faith grows for this, we can fill a lot of cups. Amen. The important instruction here was to go inside and shut the door. What is that? That is like no doubt, no unbelief. We shut the door on that stuff. That's what the devil's trying to show us in our family members, but we're not going to allow that. We're going to shut the door. We're going into the secret place. We're going into God's presence, and we're believing for our family. Hallelujah. And you know what else he said? Take your sons with you. Right? So when I take in my cup for my son, I'm believing for him, and he's going to come in that room with me eventually, right? He's going to pray for the rest of the cups with me. Hallelujah. Multiplication process. Believing for it. Hallelujah. So he said, go in and shut the door. Take your sons. She's modeling faith here. As she went door to door to collect her cups, she could have gone to two doors and went, oh, that's good enough. Or she could go to six towns over and collect hundreds of them. It was up to her, right? It's up to you what you see, because God is faithful to the level of faith you have. Amen. So you got to continually build your faith, raise your faith to believe for the miraculous. Yeah. Hallelujah. We have a miracle working God. We can believe for the miraculous. And I do. Praise God. All right. So she starts pouring, right? So she left him. She shut the door behind her and her sons. So she followed that instruction. She was obedient. We got to be obedient to what God tells us, right? So if he tells us to speak to him, we speak to him. If he tells us don't speak to him, don't speak to him. Right? They brought the jars to her. So her sons now are involved in this miracle, right? They're bringing the jars, and they were probably really big and huge and heavy, and they were carrying those jars to her, and she kept pouring. Now, the miracle happened the minute this was out, right? The minute that was out, God's faithful to keep our faith going. He's faithful to keep it going and going and going and going if we just keep turning to him. We have to keep that door closed on the doubt and unbelief and just allow God to minister to us as we believe in him. So when the jars were finished, she said, oh, wait a minute, she left him and shut the door. I already read that. Sorry. When the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another one. But he replied, there's not a jar left. And then the oil ran out. Not until she was done with her jars. Not until. That was a miracle. This little thing of oil filled all of these giant jars. Can you imagine the excitement of the kids or young men? Oh my gosh, Mom, it's still going. It's still going. Can you, I mean, just put yourself in that room. The excitement level. They had to be seeing with their eyes and having to believe in something wild because it was going. It was going. It was going. And they'd set it off to the side. Let's get another one. Christmas morning. Is there more packages? You know, Keep it going. I can only imagine that moment with that family in the room, right? Celebrating the miracles of God. So, let's see, verse 7. She went and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left. So, God was faithful. Not only did he provide the miracle, he provided provision for a long time. So if she was full of expectation, she had so many jars, she became a millionaire. Think about that. She could sell that oil and have money to live on for the rest of her life if she believed for it. If she didn't, all she barely got was the bills paid and then was still struggling. So what do we believe in for? Not just one of these cups. I'm believing for all of these cups. They're all coming in. I'm not stopping short of full miracle, right? She had provisions and her sons were saved. Her sons were saved from her action, right? Our families are going to be saved too. She included others and demonstrated her faith in action. She continued to seek God for further instructions. Don't forget to do that. Don't forget to continue to seek God for further instructions. Because as we walk this out, it can be a little tumultuous. You have to be very discerning and very Holy Spirit led. You don't want to tick them off. But we want to believe in God. Let him do the work. As a friend once told me, you put Jesus on when you walk in the door. Your breastplate of righteousness is Jesus, and he will take the arrows, he will take the doubt, he will take the unbelief and the hurt if we put him on. And then we can walk in our shoes of peace through whatever situation we're walking into. So these jars represent the faith to believe and our prayer level. Are we in expectation? Are we trusting God? Because doubt is not trusting God. That's why we have to shut it out. Because doubt comes from the enemy. He plants the seeds. And if we side with the enemy, we've lost our trust in God. We're saying, I don't know. Can this happen? No. We have to shut that out. And we have to trust God. Are we in the secret place seeking our Lord? Prayers on the fly are good. Prayers all day long are good. But are we actually spending that time with him where he can direct us and how to walk it out? How do we do this, God? And I know for me, when I get upset about something I see with my physical eyes, I try to hang on to it for a minute or two. And my husband is very faithful to help me go, wait, you got to let that at the door. You're right. You're right. He gives us other people to help us through this. And I'm so grateful because it's hard to do on your own. When you see the ugly in front of your eyes and how worldly our family members can be, it's very difficult. But we have a miracle working God. We have others around us, and we have the secret place. Amen. Amen. So, do we have enough room to receive in our spirits? So what I was just talking about, things can get buried deep inside of you. And if you haven't let that out and let God take it, there's a spot that can't be filled with the Holy Spirit for believing, right? So if you're harboring a resentment or a bitterness or a hurt or an offense, it's got a little corner of your heart and you can't let the Spirit work there in your family if you're carrying that. And I'm really working on this myself. It's very difficult. I'm being very transparent. It is hard. But we have to work on getting that out and make room in our jars. If I have half this filled with something, it's not room for the Holy Spirit to work. Right? So we have to get those things out and emptied. And that's in our own hearts. All right? Are we emptied of our own flesh? That's what I'm talking about. Our own flesh can cause these jars not to be full. The oil can't overflow if I've got crap in these jars. I think I'm allowed to say that. Because that's what it is. It's crap, you know? And I know I have some. And I have to spend time with Jesus and let that out. Get it out so I can allow him to work. And that's the hard part of our job, right? He is the miracle-working God, but we have to trust him and we have to empty ourselves, empty those jars so they can be filled. All right? And we have to cast out the doubt and unbelief over and over. Oh, Lord, what I'm seeing right now is so hard. Cast it out of me and what I see. Okay? So the Lord uses our faith to deliver us from struggles. Exercising our faith brings wealth in the heavenly realm. Faith builds us for more character. As we walk through these things, our character is getting honed. It's getting to look more and more like Jesus, but we have to allow ourselves to be chipped at, allow ourselves to be built, allow ourselves to be moved through it. Because if we're stuck in one place and we're not moving through it, we're stuck in that place and we can't get to there. We can't get to see the miracle. So, you know, this is about them, but it's about you. You have to do these things to walk with God in the way he intends. We have God in the measure in which we desire him. So if I'm stuck in my flesh in this spot, am I desiring what he's got for me right over there? No, because I have to get rid of those things. So we have to give it up. Allow that to go. Spend time with him. Work on yourself to believe for that. Yes. So wishing is one thing. We all have Christmas wishes and things like this. Wishing is one thing, but willing is another. We have to be willing to walk to the blessing. We have to be willing because these are two different postures of the mind. Okay, the first one gets nothing. I wish. Nothing. But I'm willing, God, to put down myself. I'm willing, God, to do something you asked me to do. I am willing. And that is going to be the accomplishment, right? The second one gets everything of God and all that he brings. Hallelujah. The oil comes to a prepared vessel, gathered, assembled, emptied, and put into the right position and staying in the right position to receive. If I move my vessel over here, I'm going to miss the oil going on, right? If I don't move and stay in the right position to believe for this, I'm going to miss the blessing. We don't want any one of these examples up here to miss this blessing. All right, so now we're going to move on to the next miraculous story in 2 Kings 4, and this is the Shunammite's son restored to life, and it's in verses 18 to 37. I'm going to paraphrase the beginning. This wealthy woman recognized that this man of God was coming through town, Elisha, and she wanted to set up a place for him where he could come and rest his head while he wasn't ministering. She wasn't looking for anything. She just wanted to provide for God, you know, with God. For God. So she created a secret place for Elisha in the upstairs of her house. She provided the things that he would need, a table, a lamp, a bed, and he could come there and rest and be with God in her home. Well, you know, when we do stuff like that, blessings come. This isn't an offering message, but the blessings come with the man of God and making a way for God and providing for what God wants. So he asked her, Shunammite woman, what do you want? And she really didn't have much. But his servant said, I recognize that her husband is old and she has no child. So he says to her, in a year from now, you're going to have a child. And she was like, no, don't get my expectations up for that. You know, it's okay. So we start the story here, our part, what we're talking about, with this child in verse 18. So this child grew, and one day he went out to his father, who was with the reapers. And he said to his father, oh, my head. Something's happening to this boy. So his father told his servant, carry him to his mother. After the servant had lifted him up and carried him to his mother, the boy sat on her lap until noon. And then he died. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, then shut the door and went out. So she wasn't expecting to have a child because she just didn't have one. But the Lord provided for one, and now he's gone. The enemy came to steal, to kill, and destroy. Now, I raised children in the church. The enemy came to steal from me and my husband. He is not going to destroy them. He's not. Amen. The buck stops here, mister. Okay? We're believing for way more than that. So he died. And it says that she laid him on the bed of the man of God, and then she shut the door. This woman took him to where she knew God resided, and she laid out the boy on the bed, not for burial, but for resurrection. She's believing for something more than what she sees with her eyes. Now, as a mom, you'd be a little distraught, wouldn't you think? Really set with that for a while. That woman had to be streaming tears, had to be saying, oh, Lord. But it doesn't say she'd said anything. She called her husband and said, please send me one of the servants and a donkey so I can go to the man of God quickly and return. Her first instinct was to go to God. She's laid him out in the man of God's room, and now she's going to go to the man who told her she was going to have a child. If you gave me a child, you're going to be able to fix this. I'm trusting God. You gave me a child, you're going to fix this, right? That's a miracle expectation right there. You gave me this family, and I am believing. Oh, boy. Hallelujah, I am believing for every one of these jars to be full. Yes. He gave them to me, he's going to bring them through.
Yes, that's right.
Whew. Lord. So her husband says, why go to him today, he asked. It's not the new moon or the Sabbath. That's all right, she said. She didn't say, oh, our children, my son. She didn't do that. She did not concern him with this because she was believing this is not the end. This is not the end. So she saddled the donkey and she said to her servant, lead on. Don't slow down for me unless I tell you. So she set out and came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. Don't let me slow down, family. You hang on, and let's run together. Let's not slow down in believing for this miracle. I'm believing for every one of your family as well. God gave them to us. He's going to bring us through. Hallelujah.
Yes, hallelujah.
We got to believe for that. We're going to hang on to each other, support each other, and keep our eyes on a miracle-working God.
Yes.
So she sought out the man of God immediately. She spoke no grave words out of her mouth, only faith. Help me, Jesus, right? Sarah? Yeah. First thing I do when I see this man woman of God is I go say, guess what my kids did? Blah, 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 blah. No, we got to stop that. We're not glorifying the devil anymore.
That's right.
We're done with that. We're going to take this story to heart. She spoke no grave words. No death there. Only faith. So here she is on the back of a donkey, and she has a servant leading. I really sat with this for a long time and looked a lot of things up in Google. You know how long that journey was? It was 18 to 20 miles as the crow flies, they said. That would take at least a day of travel by donkey. Okay, we're not talking about a 20-minute drive across town. How far are you willing to go to receive faith? How far are you willing to go to believe for something more? She's desperate. She's believing. So she's traveling by donkey. He died at noon, however long it took her to prepare and lay him on the bed and then go get this saddle and all of that. So we're talking later in the day now. And they didn't get to travel at night. There was no headlights on those donkeys. They had to stop and wait overnight. I mean, her heart is crying out, "Oh, my son." And yet she's patient. She's waiting. And we don't hear what happened in this moment, but she's probably not speaking anything ugly to that servant either, right? So we're talking 2 days now of travel to get to Elisha. So when he saw her in the distance, the man of God said to his servant, "Gehazi, look, there's the Shunammite. Run to meet her and ask her, 'Are you all right? Is your husband all right? Is your child all right?'" He's full of questions. The Lord usually spoke to him and dropped words of knowledge in his heart, but this isn't happening this time. And her words were, "Everything is all right." Whew. That'd be tough. Yeah. So when she reached the man of God at the mountain, she took hold of his feet. Are you hanging on to the feet of God? Are you clinging to the feet of God? She took hold and she wasn't letting go. Gehazi came over to push her away, but the man of God said, "Leave her alone. She is in bitter distress, but the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me why." So in her action, the man of God recognized what was going on, but he heard her cry and he let her stay there. He let her sit at his feet. That is us. We are sitting at his feet, and he loves that. He's waiting to serve us. And he says, "Did I ask you," or she said, excuse me, "Did I ask you for a son, my Lord?" She said, "Didn't I tell you? Don't raise my hopes." In that moment, she's saying, "Okay, you gave him to me. You're going to fix this." She's crying out to him. But this is what gave the clue to Elisha to know exactly what was wrong. So he said to Gehazi, "Tuck your cloak into your belt, tuck your staff in your hand, and run. Don't greet anyone you meet, and if anyone greets you, do not answer. Lay my staff on the boy's face." All right, he sees the urgency now. And he wants to do something to help. So he says, "Run." How many miles was it? 18 to 20. That's a marathon. But he said, "Tuck up you." We've studied this when we studied the armor. They tucked up their skirt things and they ran. And there was no distraction in running. He could run. And he told him to do not talk to anybody. Just keep running. 18 to 20 miles. According to the Google, that's about 4 hours if you're running a marathon. So he sent him off that day. And he said, "Lay my staff on the boy's face." Now, why would he say that? Because you remember, right, that Moses had a staff. And he says, "Use what you got. Use it with faith. Use it. Use what you have. Use this cup. Pray with this cup. This is what you have." Right? And so he's saying, "Go lay the staff on the boy's face." Now, mind you, I'm just going to insert here that this is Elijah's mentor, right? He mentored him. He discipled him. So he's following the things that Elijah did. Elijah did things like this. Elijah raised somebody from the dead. Elijah poured oil. So he modeled that for his disciple. This is why I'm just doing a plug for MFH discipleship, because we model these things to our disciples and then they can model it to the next person. Okay? It's faith. And so he said, "Lay the staff on his face." But the child's mother said, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So he got up and followed her. She's not leaving that place. She's not leaving the secret place. She's staying with the man of God in the presence of God, believing for this miracle. Because if she had walked out of the room, she might have been out of position to receive. Right? Don't get distracted. Don't get distracted. We send our prayers out, but we stay in the presence of God to believe. All right? But this woman was bold, and she was persistent in her faith. So Elisha had to get up and go. She wasn't allowing him to just send his staff. No, we're going. We're going. Let's go. Come with me. Right? I'm so thankful for that. So Gehazi went on ahead, and he laid the staff on the boy's face, but there was no sound or response. So Gehazi went back to meet Elisha, and he said, "The boy has not awakened." Okay, so again, this man is running. He has not a car, and they're coming by donkey, another day travel, right? And he has to leave the boy and run. So this is time. This is time. Time is happening here. We cannot get upset if it's taking time. It's in God's time how things go. So this is par for the course, right? We let them do what they do because that's what they do. But God has the perfect time for our family. And it's progressive. So if you're waiting for a healing, you're waiting for financial, you're waiting for your miracle, it sometimes takes time. Don't be discouraged. Shut the door on that too. We cannot get discouraged because God is a miracle working God. And if we want to see it, we have to stay in the room, in the place, in position, emptied out. You see the exercise program I'm laying out for you? Right there to get to the miracle. So at 32, when Elisha reached the house, there was the boy lying dead on his couch. He went in, shut the door on the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. So again, he's blocking out doubt and unbelief. God bless you. He's blocking it out, and it's just him and the dead boy laying on his bed. What's the first thing he did? He prayed to God. Even the man of God has to pray to the God, to our God, you know. We all have faith, no matter what level, but we have to reach out to God because he's the only one that can do it. He's the one that has the power. Then he got on the bed, so God must have said something to him, right? Let me do this. Now, when I went back and looked at what Elijah did, Elijah laid down on the boy too. So again, modeling what they had done before, but God was speaking to him, this is how we're going to do it. So he got on the bed, and he lay on the boy, mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, hands to hands. And as he stretched himself out on the boy, the boy's body grew warm. It is not our job to warm that heart. It is not our job to lay on them and warm their heart. It's not. It's the Holy Spirit's. We can't change their heart. We can only stand and be in faith. And God can do the warming, right? Get that into your spirit, because trying to get them there because you want them there does not work. It takes longer. So he laid on the boy, and God did the work. It is not our job. And then it said that Elisha turned away, walked back and forth in the room, and then got on the bed and stretched out on him once more. The boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. So even the man of God had to do it more than once, right? We're battling evil forces, and God's already conquered that, and we're in victory. But we have to wait for the progression of their heart to receive. So in verses 36 and 37, it says, Elisha summoned Gehazi and said, "Call the Shunammite." And he did. When she came, he said, "Take your son." She came in and fell at his feet and bowed to the ground. Then she took her son and went out. She received her miracle of restoration, of resurrection, of life. Hallelujah. She might have been out there. By now, I've thought about this too, and it's not really part of the sermon, but it was just going to come out right now. Husband out in the field had to come in and go, "Oh, look what's, where's my son? What happened?" And wondering why she didn't speak anything. At this point, while the door was closed and Elisha was in there, this is where she's probably encouraging her husband now. "Hey, I got the man of God's in there. Let's just pray together." and calming him down, right? Her faith was washing over him. So she received that miracle. This was a progressive miracle. The woman had to continue to hang on to her faith and wait on the Lord to restore her son. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. So in Acts 2, 38 and 39, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all who the Lord God will call. Alleluia. The promise is right there, right? We have done this. We have repented and been baptized, every one of us in here, in the name of Jesus. And he has forgiven our sins, and he's given us the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is what sustains us as we walk through these things. He is our holder. He holds us in it. He holds us in it. And when we submit to him, we can stand in it, right? Okay, so if you're feeling burdened for your family, you need to give it to God. Yes. And let him take the burden. Go ahead with the picture. This is the yoke. When we're feeling burden, you can see it's very heavy on their necks, right? But we're with Jesus. It says in Matthew 11, 28 and 30, it says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So he didn't say, go on your own. He said, come to me and let's get yoked together. The yoke keeps the oxen in sync. So they often put an established, strong oxen that knows how to work for the farmer on the one side, and they put the newbie on the other. There you go, another plug for discipleship. But it's us and Jesus, okay? And when we allow him, we can walk together in sync. But when we don't, this young one, this newbie, is bucking. He doesn't want to go on the path. He doesn't want to go in the mud. He doesn't want to go in the field. And he's bucking the whole system. And that yoke is just a pulling. And he's not getting anywhere. It's kind of like the rocking chair that we talked about last week, right? You're rocking and rocking and rocking, but you're not getting anywhere. But when we submit to Jesus, we can walk beside him. We can walk in calm. We can walk in peace. And it's such a good picture for that, right? When the two ox are yoked together, the strong one carries the burden. He's like, follow me, young one, let's go. Let's walk together. I actually was in a museum yesterday and took a picture of a yoke without the cows in it. And it's the ugly looking thing, ugly little contraption. But when we allow Jesus to yoke together with us, he does the work. So in this illustration, it shows what we have. We have Jesus, and he gives us the strength. And if we humbly do his will and allow him to guide and direct our lives, this burden will be lightened, right? When you are in the secret place with your cups and you're believing, we can cry out to Jesus like that woman did at the feet of Gehazi, and Elisha. And even though Gehazi tried to move her on, no, God says, I'm listening, my child. I'm listening. And we can cry out to God and know that he is taking the burden for us, and we can walk this out in love. So what's the takeaway from this? One, be prepared and expect a resurrection. Expect a miracle, right? Number two, watch what you are declaring with your mouth. Speak life. Number three, be persistent and stay focused. Focus on Jesus. Be in the word and in prayer all the time. And number four, most important, know. Know you will receive your miracle. If anything, I hope this helps you to know God's will for your family. God's will for your family is to be saved. So know that he's a miracle-working God and that he is the one He is the one. So let us just close in prayer. Nope, not going to close in prayer. I'm going to do this. I want you to bring your jars up to this table. I want you to bring your family. Yeah, let's put it in front. I want you to bring your family to God and stand up here, and we're going to pray together. We're going to join forces. We're going to pray together for our families. And I know your cups are going to have a lot more names on them, or you can take more cups. If you want more cups, we have more. Bring them up here. Stay up here. Stay up here. We're going to pray for this miracle right now. We're going to believe for this miracle right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your anointing that breaks the yoke. Thank you, Lord, for taking the burden of our families off of us. Lord, as we humbly submit to you and we walk in unison with you, as we walk in power with you, yes, your power resides inside of us, and we can walk in power, in strong, in conviction, in victory, because it's already been done. So just spread your hands out towards this table. As we continue to bring the family members, continue to bring our family members, we stand together. You on YouTube, or you can do the same demonstration at home. Get as many cups as you have faith for, as many vessels as you have faith for. Bring them in. Bring them in, Lord. Bring them in. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for every one of these cups that are filled with love from us. We're filled with love. We love every one of these people, Lord. Keep our eyes on you. Keep us following you. Keep us persistent, God. Keep us in right position. We thank you, Lord, for filling our heart's desire and lining up with yours and doing a miracle, God. We believe. We believe, and we grab a hold of the miracle working life over each one of these people. How much we're going to celebrate, God. How much that boy celebrated when he was raised to life. He said, Mom, I'm back. I'm back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They're back. Thank you, Jesus. Get that vision right now for your family. Get the vision of your child coming to you, of your sister coming to you, of your grandma, of your everybody, future generations, all coming in and walking with the Lord. Get the vision of them with the Lord, walking with the Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That vision will carry you for a very long time. Hallelujah, God. We believe for every single one. We thank you, Jesus, because you let nothing go. You let nothing go. You are a complete miracle working God. Father, I pray just continue to lift their faith. Lift their faith today. Lift their eyes to you, Father, to believe for the miracle of their families. Thank you, Jesus. I just share my faith with you right now. Just show up. Join our faith. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Miracle working power. Miracle working power. Miracle working power. Power. Power resides inside of us. Power. Power. Power resides in us. Power for our families. Thank you, Jesus. Miracle working power. Thank you, Jesus. Raise our faith, Lord, to expect the full miracle working power in our families. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Believe for your miracle. Believe for your miracle. Father, we just release our faith. We release our faith. We release our faith. We believe, Father God. Release our faith for every single family member. Release our faith. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. You are so good. You are so good. You are so good. I release my faith over everybody watching online. I release my faith to my family as they're watching online. Thank you, Jesus. I release my faith. Thank you, Lord. Raise us up. Raise us up for expectation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Each one of you are wearing the armor of God. All right? You're standing in righteousness with the Lord. You have shoes of peace. You have your helmet of salvation, your sword, your shield, your belt of truth. Walk in it. Be released to walk in it and leave here in mighty miracle-working faith. Thank you, Lord, for great faith to believe for the great miracles that you provide. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.